The first scripture reading today comes from Genesis chapter 18, the first verse through the eighth. Abram welcomes strangers into his house and into his land with gifts and food. We are reminded of this scripture of how difficult the people of God greet those people who are strangers to them, as opposed to how culture teaches us to treat them. I will now read the scripture. The Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abram hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abram ran to the herd and took a calf tender and good and gave it to the servant who had hastened to prepare it. Then he took the curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. It looks like that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
So we've been in chapter 12 now of Romans for a few weeks, and chapter 12 focuses, as we have seen, primarily on Christian ethics and morality. A couple weeks ago, we saw that our ethics and culture has shifted from feeding the poor and clothing the naked to one where issues of sexuality serve as the fundamental decision as far as who is ethical and who is not ethical, and that's a pretty substantial shift on defining how people or what makes people ethical. Last week we were encouraged to do our job as we live out our Christian ethics within a community, especially within a Christian community. What does that look like when we are called to specific responsibilities and tasks? And living out those responsibilities and tasks defined our Christian ethics in many ways. This week, we find that we cannot separate what it means to be an ethical Christian and have love filling your life. And the primary response of our salvation, of the recognition of our salvation, that we enjoy Jesus Christ, is an act or acts of love. Love, we will find out today, has everything to do with who we are, how we act and react. It has everything to do with our relationship with God, with our family, especially with those that we don't even know and that we are greeting for the first time. Those whom we come across in our lives as strangers, and as we choose whether to receive them or cast them aside. Love defines how we reach out to strangers in our midst. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. The Apostle Paul states, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Renita Weems, who is a womanist theologian, calls love the most elusive of all human experiences. I think that is why Tina Turner is able to belt out what's love got to do with it. Because if you have to ask the question, you haven't obviously caught on to that experience or understood it in a deep and meaningful way. Anyone who has truly loved and has been truly loved knows that love has everything to do with it, and it's so much more than just a second-hand emotion, right, or experience. As a pastor, I've been in a privileged position to be able to counsel with a whole variety of people who are dealing with a myriad of issues, both good and bad, from issues of substance abuse to infidelity to the joys of premarital counseling and new births. I'm able to share with you your joys and your sorrows, your strengths and your weaknesses as well. And what I have found to be absolutely basic in all of that, what is the underlying issue many times, is whether or not someone has been able to capture love, whether they feel loved or not. Those who are constantly searching for love many times are doing so because when they were young, they felt a parent was unavailable, or even worse, there was abuse tied in as they were growing up. And so then the rest of our lives, we go on trying to find a way to capture love that was either taken from us or love that we never really had. Sometimes we spend our lives in attempts to try to capture that elusive human experience, and we never quite succeed. Folks, I have good news for you today, and that good news we find in Romans chapter 12, especially in relationship to this topic of how do we capture that, how do we capture love. We may want to relegate love to a secondhand emotion because we haven't been able to find it or define it or capture it, but the good news that we get from Paul in chapter 12 is that the love that you may have lost or the love that you maybe never had can be experienced today through Jesus Christ. That's the good news that he tells us. The love that you felt you never had can be experienced today through this family as we gather together, a family that we call church. And Paul says you have to believe that, because that's going to define what happens from here on out. That's going to define how our lives are lived out, whether we can understand that love isn't elusive, but we're able to find a location and a home for it, and it's in Jesus, and it's in this community. And I know that there are people out there who are constantly and even now searching to fill that void. And maybe as a result, we have defined ourselves as failures. Maybe we think there's nothing new. But Jesus looks at us, Paul tells us, and defines us not by the lack of love that we think we have, but by the love that our Father has for us, the love that God has given us that is there for the taking. So go to Romans 12, if you would. When you look at verse 9, Paul begins by saying, "Let love be genuine." Now, in the English, that's a command. In the English language, Paul is saying, let love, love has to be genuine. The Greek is not a command. Instead, in the Greek, you find a definition of what love is. And Paul, the literal word in Greek is for genuine, is love is not hypocritical. That's the literal Greek. So Paul here begins by saying, love is not hypocritical. Love does not say one thing and then do another. Love does not make promises that it knows it cannot accept. You may have heard similar words in 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't know the love chapter in Scripture, you need to go home and read that today. So 1 Corinthians 13, I'm guessing most of you know it and have heard of it. But if you haven't, you need to go home and read that. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul again defines, it's the same author, but writing to a different church, and he defines what love is. He says, I can have everything else in the world, all my worldly possessions I can have, but if I don't have love, who cares? Who cares what I have? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is, and you've heard that in 1 Corinthians 13, it never ends. Paul says here to begin, love is not hypocritical. Leah, if you can go ahead and show that slide. Look, go to verse 10, if you will. In verse 10, we find the following. That was good. You can leave it up there. In verse 10, we find the following, okay? Can anyone read the bold word? Anyone read that? Yes, Karen, of course you can. What does it say, Karen? It says Philadelphia. Hey, I didn't know the Eagles were going to be in the Super Bowl when I did my sermons, 4 months ago when I planned them? And here we are, Super Bowl Sunday, and verse 10 of the scripture that I chose has the word what? Philadelphia. Is that a God thing? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to read into anything, but look at that. Philadelphia is actually in the verse that I chose 4 months ago in this. And what does Philadelphia mean? It means brotherly love, right? Or sisterly love. It means love among people. A love, you can take that off now. I just thought it's the only Super Bowl reference I have in my whole sermon. So I thought it was important to see it up there. But that's what you find in verse 10, that you are to love one another is what Paul states. And where does this love come from? Where does it originate? It doesn't originate from us. Can we find it in the embrace of a lover? Can we find it in a thoughtful conversation? Can we find it in anything in all creation? Scripture tells us that God is love. He's not like love or close to love, but Scripture says God is love. So maybe we just caught a little bit of this elusive experience and found out that the only time love was actually human or originated from a person, found its beginning in a person, was in Jesus Christ as he walked along the earth. So maybe it is better to say that this elusive human experience caught us instead of us being able to catch it. And maybe we spend our time looking and choosing that which is love when all along God is waiting patiently for us to open our eyes and stop trying so hard to find it in those places that only lead to heartache. Again, another scripture, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. We love God because God loved us first. All of those are scriptures that point to the origin of love being found in God. So because of God's love for us, which defines us and shapes us and erases the void that we may have had since childhood, it also does something for us that one may not expect. It allows us, as a result, to love others back. because you are experiencing a love that isn't deserved and is just given to you, then you are able to respond by loving others back. And this has everything to do with Christian ethics. And that's why this theme of Christian ethics throughout chapter 12 continues to resonate. He stays on that theme. So why do we these actions? It's not because we're following rules, but it is because we are responding to God's love to us. And that's what Christian ethics is all about. Our human response to God and others because of God's love for us. Because God loved us, we can be zealous. We want to be zealous. Now, our spirit, it ought to be ardent. It ought to burn. We serve the Lord not because we are afraid He will punish us if we don't. We serve Him because we love Him. So Paul goes on, explains why as Christians we need to be ethical in that way. He states, if you follow along, we rejoice in hope. So as Christians, we ought to be optimistic because if Christ is for us, who can be against us? These are all verses that we find in other places. These are all confirmation of what we ought to do. He states, as you continue on, we are patient in our suffering. And you can see that in verse 12. We are patient in our suffering because we know that all things work for good for those who trust in the Lord. We persevere in prayer. Here's a little completely random thought. Do you know if you mix up the word Presbyterian, you know what you get? Best in prayer. There's no spiritual significance behind that, but just think about that. Yeah, it's unrelated. I don't have another Super Bowl example. Did I tell you that? But did you also know that if you don't think you're loved, that's going to affect your prayer life? If you continue to think that you aren't able to find the love that is so elusive, it's going to affect your relationship with God. If you're not absolutely convinced that God made you, that God loves you, that God embraces you, that God comforts you, you're not going to have a relationship with Him that will provide you an opportunity to love others in a full way. And if you love, you will put all your trust in God for your needs, so your giving will be out of love and confidence. That is a mark of this church, a church that loves God and as a result is able to express that by loving others in their giving. Extending hospitality is another example that Paul ends our scripture with today, and that our Genesis scripture also speaks to how if you are someone who recognizes that God loves you, that you are not afraid to extend hospitality to the stranger, something which today in our culture is not encouraged. And so Paul doesn't give us a list of ethical rules to follow to measure up how we are doing, but rather he gives us a freedom to live and follow that which we would do naturally. For our Creator loves us, and so we want to love Him back. So what's love got to do with it? Well, it has everything to do with our relationships. It has everything to do with our relationship with God. And God's love is indisputable, and it's upon this love which is handed to us, which is easily captured because it actually captures us. That's what we rely upon. And as Paul writes to the Roman community, he understands the experiences that they have gone through. He knows that there are times when they are broken, when they are empty, but he also knew that in a family, in a church family, one could begin again to face life. And to base their life and to base their Christian ethics upon the love of Christ, which is found within this community. May God bless us and keep us as we look to live out our lives based upon the love that God has given to us. knowing that love has everything to do with it. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you now, and we ask that as we continue to serve you, that you would strengthen us in all that we do. And we pray all of this in the loving name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.